Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we're going to be talking about your soul. Yes, we speak about it all the time on this show. We're coming at it from so many different angles. What is the soul? What is its purpose? What is its mission? Where does it reside? What color does it have? Does it have an aura? How do we nourish it? All of these questions. And we think, what is the soul? Is it self? Is it a spirit? Is it essence? Or is it just in our eyes? Wow, so many concepts. And we think about our self, our soul, our spirit, our energy, and our human existence. How do these all fit together? You know, we were born in this lifetime. I'm now in my 60s. I think back on it and I say, we thought of it as a lifetime. You were born, you played out your story, and then you turned around and your story ended. Now we're saying in 2019, there's so much more to that. It's a continuum. It's a paradigm. It's an existence. This is just a little piece of our pure energy. Goodness gracious. Talk about confusion. If you aren't confused in the first place, you surely will be many times in your life. And really, what is the confusion? The confusion is the questions. They're not always about the answers, but it's about questions, and it takes you on an exploration. That's what we'll be talking about today. My guest is Ani Anderson. Her book is Find Your Soul's Agenda, the one word that will make your whole life a success. Ani, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, you're so welcome. So don't you think, Ani, that, you know, we looked at it before, life was so simple, you know, in the 50s and 60s, and now we have to have all these other questions, and we're going, I'm more confused than ever. I don't even know where I'm going, right?
That's so true. Confusion comes up for so many people. I was just talking on a call today about how so many people don't even know what they want. And, you know, it's like this cloud follows so many people around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's really actually the life and the eon of the seeker. If you look at it, people came off of, you know, after World War II, and people said, I'm seeking, I want material things, and then it was on to I wanted money, then we had to have status, then we had to have how high can we go, then we got knocked down on our knees, and now we're at the beginning. Ooh, I guess that wasn't the trail, that wasn't the path or the answer. Now we're on a new adventure, and I think our new adventure has really come up in the past 10 years about soul, spirit, essence, energy agendas, don't you think?
I would totally agree with that. I've been doing this work for about 20 years. And I remember sitting in meditation group about 20 years ago and knowing that meditation was something that you didn't necessarily go to work and talk about. Obviously, there wasn't Facebook, you know, so at that point, right. So it wasn't something that you were promoting. And then it really transitioned to a thing that became known to be good for you and then all of a sudden became popular. And then everybody was talking about how they're meditating. And so the last 10 years really have been pretty profoundly expansive in the spiritual realm I've been seeing.
You know, it's so funny. I was in this hypnosis group, and they were talking, and they were just sharing different stories and everything. And one lady says, well, now, we have to make sure we are not one of those woo-woo people. We're not all out there. And I'm thinking, how secular of yourself, do you know? Are you thinking, you know, which antiquated corner of the mind or the brain do you think you're going to work in? Because it just doesn't work that way, you know? And I think everybody's having all of these other journeys and little aspects. It's almost like glitter was thrown in the air, and now we're just waiting to see what kind of pattern it's going to form, don't you think?
Yeah, I love that, the lady saying, we don't want to be woo-woo, because the fact is, everything is energy. Most people recognize that, I think, at this point,
right.
Although they don't know really what to do about it. It's like the woo has knocked on many people's doors.
Right. But you know what I think it was? She just didn't want, she wanted to feel reputable and this, that, and the other. And I think when we look back at it, a soul's agenda is not truly about being reputable in the eyes of others. It's about being yourself in your soul. So a lot of these times when we say, we don't want to hang over the edge, we don't want to wear, we don't want to wear pink to a funeral, we don't want to, wear high heels, to the spa. It's sort of like, why not? The presumption or the tether lines, I always call them, the tether lines that we feel that we're so bound up in is really what weaves our clothing. And it really is about how we have taken on identities to be able to create that form that you can live in and say, this is reflecting to others, therefore I'm okay. Yes?
Yes. Oh, exactly. Yeah, so that we can feel that tribal sense of belonging. Absolutely. The idea that we can't be who we are because we're not going to belong, I think, is really starting to unravel in a larger sense. There are way more people putting themselves out there in who they are and how they express themselves in general nowadays. And it's so phenomenal to see. I do hope that in my lifetime, over the next 10, 20, 30 years, I get to see a place where there's way more acceptance around that, and not only acceptance, but appreciation for folks who are really showing up and expressing who they are. Because the soul doesn't know. The soul doesn't know if you wear pink to a funeral and that's quote-unquote wrong. There's no wrong,
Right.
So allowing ourselves to really be in the expression of who we are.
So it's the idea of, are we going to live a human existence, or are we going to live here for our soul? Those are the two questions. And really, when we look at it, is the human existing created from the perception on an outside basis? And we know that's so true because, it's interesting. I even saw on a post the other day on one of the spiritual channels, and they had said, find your soul tribe and find your incarnate tribe. And I'm going, huh? What are you talking about? And it just kind of didn't resonate with me. And what they were trying to say was, even though we're still out there in that woo land, we still need to have connections to groups. Otherwise, we're going to really fall off the edge. And really, if you look at it, when you really do fall off the edge, that's when only self and soul can be created in its own authenticity. Do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely do think so. I mean, isn't that what it's all about, is really learning who we are and how we want to express that in the world?
It's a tough place to be, I think, when you get on this journey. People will say, I'm missing something, I'm broken, something's wrong. Don't you think you hear those comments all the time?
All the time. And, my practice is all about helping people to reveal the wholeness that's right in front of them that they don't see. And the law of attraction stuff that for the most part people think is about attracting something that's not already in our lives. It's in my experience. I don't negate anybody else's experience, but it's in my experience that what you seek is already there. It's not about attracting something that's not there. It's already there. It's about revealing what is already in front of you, revealing the wholeness that you already are. I've seen it time and time again. It's one of the most beautiful things for me in my life to be able to witness, almost akin to, babies being born, when somebody really starts to realize that the gifts that they're looking for, the person that they're looking for is already there. It's them. It's right in front of them. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, and I think sometimes what happens along this journey is once you start asking those questions, then you start asking them of others around you. And what happens is when those others are totally and solidly not on the same path and they're still locked into that other stuff, and you're so it's sort of like, you know, you're asking the wrong people. So, so I guess it's really about how can we start to have this journey, ask the questions, but when we're asking the questions of others, we're expecting them to have an answer to solutionize something, to fix something, to heal something. You know, we all say, if you can fix it, if you can take a pill for it, if you can have talk therapy for it, if you can turn around and you know, all of your swamis can come around and make you feel better, whatever. It's just, hey, how do you get to that place where this inner feeling doesn't exist? But isn't that inner feeling a tool to the path to existence?
Yes. This is one of my favorite things to talk about. So first of all, like asking the people around you, polling the people around you about what you should do with your life. The reason that doesn't work is because we're asking people, for the most part, we're usually asking people who are on the same level of consciousness as us in that certain area. And so, you know, just like Einstein would say, you can't solve a problem from your current level of consciousness. You got to ask somebody who has a higher level of consciousness in that certain area than you do. And then that would be a way to actually, engage someone if you're asking for their advice. But otherwise, I highly encourage people to start engaging in conversations where they're being asked questions so that we can find our inner answers. And that relates to what you just said about, you know, like the felt quality. What is actually happening, how we're actually feeling are the answers. And so often right now I see, since spirituality has kind of really been popularized over the past 10 years or so, we have come to a place where we kind of expect ourselves to be happy, fulfilled, positive all the time, and that's the spiritual way. You've got to be grateful for everything, blah, blah, blah. I think that's amazing, but, and the way that we get to a place where we feel better, the way that we get to a place where we can be more grateful and be more positive, et cetera, is through where we actually are right now and being aware of what we actually feel, what we actually think is how we're going to get to our destination, not trying to force ourselves to feel differently or ask other people who also have no idea, what they would do.
Right, and we're also too sometimes asking people, and we forget that they have a vested interest in keeping us just how we are.
Absolutely.
You know? And people say, oh no, that's not true. They always want the better for me. No, they want the better for you when it works for them.
Yes. And that sounds so selfish, but it's really not. It's just human nature. It's the way that we operate. So, you know, having lots of compassion for ourselves and other people that we're not even aware, really, that that's how it works, because it does, for us to just have some compassion around that. It's not about blaming the other person or pointing fingers or anything like that at ourselves or others. It's just how it works.
Right. And, you know, I had written a short paper one time. I said, trust is a noose. And people said, what? What do you mean? And I said, well, when you start to come out of something, you'll start to reflect back and you'll look and you'll say, wow, they said that they always trusted me because I was keeping their secrets. I was holding on to the items that they wanted. I was staying within the cement walls. I didn't deviate. Look like a duck, quack like a duck, you are a duck kind of idea. So it kind of really was really holding me at bay, and I wasn't able to voice things out. And I see that sometimes when people say, I'm in a relationship and I can't express. I have throat cancer. I can't say. Yeah. I have stomach cancer because things are churning up inside. You know, I have, this, that, or the other. And it's really, in those instances, trust is a noose. And, say for what it is. It's like, okay, right now my trust looks like a noose. because that's how I feel. And then trust,
yeah.
You can reframe it another time when you're in another place. But own it where you are. I think a lot of times people are, you know, I had this one person I was talking to, and she says, if you were in that much pain, I could have gotten you out of it in an instant. And I'm thinking, that wasn't the point.
Yeah.
pain has a purpose. Pain is a reason. I'm in it. Why do you want to take me out of it? In other words,
yeah.
We're really truly looking at that if I'm broken and I have pain, you know, we see this all the time. People walk around us. They don't talk
yes.
to us. If you, I know, I mean, like I have migraine headaches for like umpteen years, you know, I'm in my 60s and some months it could be almost every single day, some months it'll be nothing. But you notice when people don't text you or they don't call you. And it's sort of like you go, oh, are you walking around it again? You know? And a lot of times people will say, well, we're not waiting in judgment. We just don't want to engage in that frequency, which takes us back to what you said before. You know, are these people all starting to be high and mighty? Right? And I have a good frequency. How about the one, your life is only good when it's full of happiness and joy in the white light?
Yeah.
Okay, what's going to happen when your bank account gets hacked, your husband leaves you, and all of a sudden you go to the doctor and you have cancer? What are you going to do then?
This really, you know, brings me back to this is why I really wanted my book to come out, Find Your Soul's Agenda, because I believe that we are always on purpose. It's not that we're on purpose when we're happy all the time. It's not that we're on purpose when we're succeeding all the time. We're always on purpose. And I'm sure have heard so many people talk about how they're not okay because, and they can't get to where they want to be because they've just shut their blinders. Their blinders are down as soon as they start talking like that. And it's just been such a profound experience to watch people read the book and to talk about the content and to notice, oh, and I literally sometimes have to talk to them 5 times before they understand it.
Right.
So I'm always on purpose. Yes, you're always on purpose. Always, all the time. Really?
Yeah.
Really, really important.
Yeah, because you know sometimes people will say, well, I must be off track today because I'm not feeling well. And I'll say, what makes you think your track is straight? Your track is meandering. You know? And
yeah.
it was funny because I was speaking to someone also, and I said, I feel like my life is an amoeba. I don't have any way it goes. There is no direction. There's no nothing. But really what it does is that you're going and being guided within whatever that is. And I think sometimes when we say, but I have created the path I'm going to walk down by going to school, going to work, getting a job, having a big influential position. I climbed my ladder. And I think sometimes when we look at when you speak about in your book, The Soul Agenda, it's really about, is it those outer accomplishments that are creating your identity, or what is your soul identity? And which one are the you?
Yeah, which one are you really identifying with? Because I was the person who was identified with my outward success. And then when that outward success went away, I didn't know who I was.
Right.
And that's a scary proposition that a lot of people have been in. What a way to walk through the world where no one can take it away from you.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit DrJeanetteGallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
don't you think that's exactly where your purpose in the book, Find Your Soul's Agenda, your purpose and my purpose also, is when we walk with them side by side. It's not about, hey, follow me. It's not about get behind and push me, you know, where I've got to go. It's truly about just standing in guidance along the sideline. And that's really the most powerful kind of support you can ask from anyone. Because when you say something, it's not about you're waiting for them to have the answers. They may come back with 100 other questions. But through those questions, something will come out of your own mouth, which will be the message for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really the true empowerment as a leader. It's kind of a soapbox area for me as we do a lot of training with leaders, teaching them coaching skills so they can be better leaders. And it really is about not being a leader who has followers, but just like you said, being a leader who can lead oneself. And so because I can lead myself, which also includes, by the way, getting mentorship and help along the way, I can be by the sidelines and show somebody that I believe that you can do it. I see it in you. And I have the faith and the compassion to be able to stand here and allow whatever it is that's going to happen so that you can see it too. That is just what an amazing gift to be able to give someone.
You speak about in your book about nature also, and we look out at nature and we say, animals, oh, I'd love to be a bird because they're free. I would love to be a snake because I could hide in the grass. I'd love to be a kangaroo because I could jump all day long and feel safe and secure, whatever it is. And I think sometimes we will say, why do you not believe that you can be similar, because we're all part of the continuum, versus thinking that humans are all this as a separate entity. It's almost like living a life in duality when really we are all part of the similar existence of energy. I mean, it's all there.
Everything is energy. That is the oneness. When we talk about oneness and we wear it on T-shirts and we see it on billboards, it feels like this thing that, how do I ever wrap my head around that? And we say, we're one, but what are we really talking about? Most people, I don't think, really understand what they're talking about. For me, when we talk about those things, what I relate it to is we are all energy, and everything within us is energy, and all the stuff of life is energy. Everything is one thing. It's energy. And so, you know, I love what you're talking about. I think it was yesterday, I was feeling a little frazzled, and I had a lot of things on my plate, and I just took a moment. I looked out the window, and I saw a tree, and I know that that energy that created the tree also is the energy that flows within me, and I just felt that calmness and solidity for a moment, and I got back on my way. I mean, that's the power that we have in any moment of our lives when we really tap into nature. So often people don't feel connected to nature until they go for a walk in the woods. And then, you know, 90% of their life, they're not taking a walk in the woods, so they don't feel okay. But you can use the knowledge of nature to feel okay all the time.
I think sometimes I use it as an escape, as a Band-Aid, just as they would alcohol or drugs or whatever it might be. Like, you know, you see everybody, they go on these big vacations or these big spa things, or I'm going to go to retreat, blah, blah. They come home and then they're still yelling and screaming at their kids, and they still, you know, they're still not able to be able to relax or anything else. And you say, what are you really creating? You know, it's interesting. Before we had this call, I was sharing a story with you that I had gone outside, and I walk out every day, and I'm very in tune to the trees and the earth around me. Today I went out, and I said, wow, why are all the leaves on the ground? This tree was fine yesterday. And I looked up, and I said, this tree is dying. Walked around the circle around the swimming pool, and the swimming pool had a bunch of rocks in, and I said, why is that in there? Somebody must have thrown them in there. That doesn't work right. And then I walked around, and all of the trees around the pool are dying within the past 12 hours. It's something strange. And I just realized as I was saying that and thinking about it, is that the last three nights I've had vivid dreams about of death, of dying, of something. And then I even looked back on it, and about 4 days ago, my daughter had sent me a text early in the morning. She says, hey, what was the name of that song you used to sing all the time when someone was dying? And because I have I had these songs, you know, and and I said, oh my gosh. And then immediately I said, okay, who's dying? Me, you, your child, your baby, who's, someone's going to die. And so now, you know, as we're recording today, that's my being connected to all the earth, being knowing in nature, taking what my soul's trying to say, thinking and listening, paying attention to outside, talking to you about it. And that's how you construct a format where whatever is going on at the very second, you can see how these things create a more adventuresome life, a more engaged life, a more soul-guided life, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you used the word adventure because that's what it feels like for me. I used to feel like my life was kind of monotonous. And since, I guess you could say being on the path, you know, since really being on the path, meaning not just reading about soul stuff, but taking action on it and being in action in my life from a soul-based way, it feels like an adventure. It does. It feels like a grand adventure. And so I still have the, you know, my life looks like other people's lives where I have a home and I've got kids and I go to the grocery store. And boy, wow, it feels so adventurous from moment to moment and day to day. And that's really, you know, what I'm taking from what you were saying. I love that concept of adventure.
Right. And it's really how things play out, but not always having to have an answer. So now, you know, this is what, fourth or fifth day? We'll see what happens tonight. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But now it's in my awareness that it's repeated enough times. So I think the idea of, are we attuned and open in awareness to what is really around us? Or are we blinded by the concepts, beliefs, patterns, and habits that we have put into place?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's like a great question for everybody to ask themselves.
I think in your book, though, you really do ask all of those questions. You ask all of those questions to put up the it's almost like you planted trees in the desert, and it's kind of like saying, come hither, let's see what we'll do, you know? And because those questions, and you leave a lot of room for answers and exploration when you're reading your book. Again, the book is Find Your Soul's Agenda. I think once you do that, you can say, let's engage and pass through and see what resonates. Because I think everybody's is different, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like to tell people, look, you know, some people are going to resonate with like what we're talking about right now. Some people are going to resonate with my book. I don't care if you resonate with what I say or somebody else says, but I do know that everybody has spiritual aspects of themselves. And I do know that everybody's life would be better if you explore all aspects of life, including the spiritual aspects of life. So, you know, if my work resonates with you, great. If somebody else's work does, great. But get into it and then do ask the questions and do engage and do go further than just reading. Get into action in some way. I mean, that's really how we put these practices. We make them alive. You know, we make them real rather than just something we read about.
Yeah, I think the idea also, too, is that you go out and you sit in nature, you go out and you disconnect from the things that might be giving you the good feelings, so to speak. And when you have these other things where you fall off, say, okay, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to feel it. And you say, you know what? I might have pain, but I'm not a victim of pain. I might have issues with my health, but I am still as one and whole in your soul. The ideas of, yes, there are other people around me that command my time, but maybe I will look at it how I can unconditionally give versus how I'm conditionally expecting a response. Mm-hmm. All of these things, I think, are some of the stepping stones along a curious path, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we open up our whole nervous system when we approach anything with curiosity. And, you know, that's what I really feel like you're talking about. And asking questions, but asking better questions, asking higher level questions, asking questions that actually help us in our lives. So rather than asking questions like, what's wrong with me? that's not helpful. Right. That doesn't, you know, not only does that not feel good, but it perpetuates crumminess in our lives. Asking ourselves higher level questions is so incredibly important. It's, you know, when you get a question that makes you go, that's a good question. That is a good question.
Right.
I encourage everybody to seek out either people who ask you questions that make you think, or books or courses or whatever it is that ask questions that make you think. Because when they do make you think and you are actually curious, then you can, I was going to say escape from it. I don't want to talk about it like that. You can change the paradigm that you're currently in and experience life in a whole new way.
You know, let's look at it as an example. We say, oh, well, I really want to leave my husband because he doesn't love me. And you say, okay, so I want to go. And then you say, okay, what's your answer to that? And you'll say, I want a life where I will find a husband to love me. So then you keep probing it and you go further and further and further. And eventually it comes down to, oh, why don't I love myself? And am I needing to find that from someone else? You know, and I think the ideas sometimes when all the time when people say, you know, I'm really unhealthy and I'm not able to walk, I'm going to need to have some help. And we'll say, okay, so why are you so angry? And the answer is, well, I want to be independent because I don't want anything from anybody else. And then the idea is sometimes it might be the ones that are helping you are not the right ones to help you, or maybe that you will learn to need to learn acceptance. But it's not always the same answer for everyone. I think that's very important. Because
it's
we say, you have help. Why aren't you in accepting it? Well, maybe you're an intuitive person and you're intuiting that those other people are not giving it unconditionally and you don't want that kind of stuff on you. You know? So I think sometimes to step back and say, there are things full circle here. This is still not a linear answer.
Yeah, back to your, what did you say, curved path or something meandering? I love that. Yeah, absolutely. People want to know what their limiting beliefs are for me sometimes. And I think it's funny. You know, I joke like to create a PDF of limiting beliefs. That would be crap. I mean, I can't do that because there's no belief that's always limiting you. There are beliefs that work for us sometimes and then don't work for us at other times in our lives. We can't read a script on this one, folks. You know, we have to explore. We have to adventure. We have to be curious. That's just part of the whole thing is really allowing ourselves to be in that, well, like you said before, not knowing.
I think the word, once you use beliefs, it's almost about reproducibility. In other words, I want to be able to pull up my book and say, this is what I'm all about. And it's good because then it brings others in, it quantifies me, it qualifies me, or whatever you want to call it. So I think that sometimes, as I said before, it's the thread that you weave through your clothing because you feel like without it, you don't really have a sense of self in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. That sense of self is important.
You know, it's interesting when we talk about unlimited beliefs and unlimited potential and we say, what is really going on? And I always look back at nature. I take pictures every single day. I walk outside. All I do is take my phone, put it on camera, and point and shoot. And I never look at it while I'm shooting it. I just turn around and come back in the house, and I'll look at the 30 or 40 photos I took in like 5 minutes. And I think I have like maybe 50,000 pictures of just the sun or the clouds. And not one is ever repeating. Not one will I ever say is a bad picture. Not one would I ever say, you know, oh, well, you just did it wrong. It's not right. Yet the sun, as we say, is the most powerful energy in the universe. Why would we not think that our soul is also that?
Absolutely. And I think that some of it goes back to, like you were saying, after World War II, like our history, where we've been as a society and the unpatterning as a society around even having these conversations. We're to a place where we're having these conversations more and more now, which is really exciting. I look forward to a time when there's even more people having these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting when we're able to bring up this conversation here in 2019 and we say, oh, there's so many other options and isn't it fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is fun. It's really interesting.
Well, Ani, it was such a great conversation to speak with you today. It was such a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I agree. It was a great conversation.
Could you please share with the listeners how to find out more information about you and your work? That would be wonderful.
Oh, sure. The easiest way is just to go to our book website, which is www.findyoursoulsagenda.com.
And Ani, don't you think that it's really important for people to say, even if I have just one question, reach out and seek instead of sitting back and saying, oh, I'll just let that feeling pass, right?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I was just talking about this with my husband yesterday. So often I see people just sitting there waiting maybe for somebody to ask them to speak up. Speak up, ask your questions. There's so many of us who are doing this kind of work now and so much wisdom to be gained, but you won't gain it unless you speak up and ask your questions.
And it's really important to get in the front of the book, Find Your Soul's Agenda. You have about the workbook for free. Can you share about that?
Yeah, so I wanted to make this work incredibly accessible to people. So if you're really just looking for some questions to get your ball rolling, some higher level questions, yes, you can just get the workbook, which is just the questions that I ask in the book. And it'll start stimulating your consciousness at a higher level so that you can, you know, be asking yourself better questions and come to some insights. The book has a great ability to help people to gain insight. And you can get that for free just by downloading the workbook. And that is also on the findyoursoulsagenda.com website.
And it's really about working through the path, as you said. I think ask the questions. If you have people around you that are just like out in left field and you're like, I'm tired of standing out here. I want to get back in and pitch for my life. Then it's about being able to step in and being able to pitch for your life. Just leave them out there. You know, download the workbook. Start there. Then read the book. It'll start generating the flow, which is really the flow of energy of saying, you know what, I really don't want to do that anymore, you know, and you might find yourself sitting in the bleachers just reading, don't you think, in your life?
Yeah, it's that gaining momentum, right? If we want our lives to go in a different direction, we have to start something, and it's going to probably feel small at first, and we're going to need to keep focusing there in order to gain more momentum. But eventually, you'll look at your life, and you'll go, oh, my gosh, look at all the momentum I have. My life is totally different, and it wouldn't be different if I hadn't started that one thing. I mean, it's just so important to just turn around, start momentum in the other direction if that's what you need to do.
Right. And it's also about being able to say, too, it doesn't have to be a linear existence. It can be all over the place, and that's just fine, too, right?
That's part of it. Totally, totally. Play with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ani, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
If you'd like to find out more information about Ani Anderson and her book, Find Your Soul's Agenda, the one word that will make your whole life a success, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. And do find out about the workbook. It is really essential to be able to say, I have this urge, I don't know. The answer is go to the computer, push the button, and start. Start somewhere. It doesn't always have to be in agreement with others. You don't need to compare your notes. You don't need to find out even further where you're right or wrong. It has nothing to do with that. It's about bringing your inner spirit forward to start sharing and being able to see what you can put down on a piece of paper. So just do step up. Enjoy the journey of your life. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.